highlight again, I know Pam already mentioned it, but Unstoppable Week of Prayer coming up the 19th to the 26th. There will be lots more information coming to you in the next couple weeks, but there are going to be a number of opportunities throughout that week to gather together for corporate prayer. And folks, corporate prayer is powerful. It's powerful. We need to pray together. There needs to be a sense of coming together, coming into unity, hearing God together, and declaring what God has spoken to us together. Right? Prayer is not just coming to God with a grocery list of things we want Him to do. Prayer is, I think, primarily hearing what He wants to do and declaring those things. How many know if you pray the answer, you're going to get farther than if you pray the problem? And if God speaks to us about His answers, then we have something even more powerful to pray than to pray the problem. And so I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Maybe you've never been to a prayer meeting. Maybe you're just like, well, I'm not much of a prayer, and you know, it's not really my thing. I want to encourage and challenge you. Find one of the prayer meetings in that week that works and show up and just see what God might do. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you pray out loud if you've never prayed out loud in a group. We're not going to make you do anything. Just come and be a part of what God is doing, and I know you're going to be strengthened and encouraged. All right? Good. Good, good. So today's message, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of pastors preaching with this title today, just because it works, right? 2020 vision in 2020. But you know what? I really believe that as we start the year with a focus on where God wants to take us, I think it's going to be vital for us to stay focused on where He's taking us. I really believe that we may not be able to see everything that is going to happen in 2020. We may not be able to see everything that God's going to do or everything that's going to come at us. We talked a bit about that last week. I do believe that God wants His people to see enough to be able to move forward. He wants us to be able to see enough to be able to move forward. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, this is from the New American Standard. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, of the sons of Issachar. This is part of they're listing different leaders from every tribe in Israel, but specifically it says, of the sons of Issachar. Issachar was one of the tribes of Israel. Men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. So God had specifically gifted some of the leaders in the tribe of Issachar with supernatural wisdom to understand what was going on in the world around them and in the country around them, and had supernatural wisdom to know what Israel needed to do to walk in God's favor. And I believe if God did that for Israel and did that for Issachar, I believe He wants to do it for Evangel. That He wants us to understand the times. How many know we live in some crazy times? And we need supernatural wisdom and supernatural insight to know how to just live in this world, let alone reach people for Jesus. Right? We need supernatural understanding and wisdom to know how, because you know what? You cannot reach people for Jesus today the same way you did 20, 30, 50, 70 years ago. We need to understand the times. We need to be students of the culture around us and understand the times. And God needs to give us wisdom and insight so that we can be effective in reaching our city. Another scripture I'll throw at you just to reinforce this. Proverbs 4. Actually, I've got them up here. Sorry. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Isn't that interesting? That there is something about God's presence in our lives that turns the lights on for us so that we can see where we're going. That when people don't have the presence of God in their lives, when they don't have Jesus with them, folks, I want to encourage you, don't judge people who don't have Jesus. It's not your job, first of all. And they don't even have a clue what makes them stumble. They're trapped. They are captives to things. They don't even know what makes them stumble. It's not our job to judge them. It's our job to come alongside them and shed some light and love them. But the reality is, God has given us light. The righteous. That's not those who are just really better than everyone else. How many know the righteous are those who have simply been graced by God's mercy? They've been rescued out of darkness, and Jesus has put his light on the inside of them. It's his righteousness, not ours. So this doesn't mean those who are better than everyone else, they have light. That's not what it says. The righteous are those who trust in Jesus, because he's the light to their path. Amen. So I share these scriptures because I really believe that God wants to give us clarity. He doesn't want us, maybe you were like this morning. I didn't even know it was going to ice this morning when I put this picture in here. But maybe you are like this morning. God doesn't want us to be like people who don't clear their windshield off and try to drive. Right, you just I can kind of see the yellow line. I don't think there's anything coming. Let's just keep going till the heat clears the windshield off. Don't do that. In a car or in life. And God doesn't want us to do that as a church, but you know what? So many times churches just kind of drive blind. They're just like, God, I hope we're going somewhere. I hope there's nothing in our way. I hope we're going to be okay. But I believe God wants to put a purpose on the inside of us as a church that motivates us forward, that gives us clarity about where we're going. Then we're not stumbling around. We're not getting lost in cul-de-sacs, but we're saying that's where Jesus wants to take us. Let's go. God doesn't intend for his people to stumble in the dark. It's one of the main reasons for the gift of prophecy. Did you know that? Why does God speak to his church through words of prophecy? not just to make us feel better. He wants to lead us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to give us clarity about where we're going. And God wants to give us supernatural insight that we couldn't think up, we couldn't come up with. Good point. Yeah, I know. She said it's a good place for a commercial about School of the Spirit. We are kicking off School of the Spirit again. We took a break for Christmas season, all of December. But we're kicking off School of the Spirit again tonight. And Sunday nights, again, for the foreseeable future, we're digging into School of the Spirit. It's an opportunity for us together to learn how to be led and empowered so that we can live a supernatural lifestyle in the world God's called us to live in. And so I want to encourage you, challenge you to be out tonight and to dig into School of the Spirit in the coming weeks. I want to be equipped. I want us to be equipped. Good. So we are meant to hear from the Lord clearly enough so that we can move forward. It's also the reason God gives apostolic leaders. What does that mean? That means apostolic leaders are leaders that God has put in place to oversee. They're leaders of leaders. They're fathers to sons. They're mothers to daughters. They're leaders of leaders. God puts apostolic leaders in place in His church because He gifts them to be able to see the big picture of where we need to go. Two years ago, we tweaked this mission statement that had been in place for decades already. A version of it had been in place for decades already. We tweaked the wording a little bit. And it keeps us focused on why this church was started, what God has called this church to do. And it keeps us focused on the kingdom mandate that Jesus has given this church to fulfill. We exist to exalt God in everything, to engage people with the good news of Jesus, to equip people as followers of Christ, and to empower everyone for ministry. We exist to exalt God in everything, to engage people with the good news of Jesus, to equip people as followers of Christ, and to empower everyone for ministry. Our vision, whatever vision we have, really, if this is our mission, our vision needs to take us there. Right? It needs to empower us to accomplish this. If this is why we exist, then we need to accomplish this, right? Vision, here's a definition, a very simple definition of vision. A picture of a preferred future. Simple but profound, isn't it? What is a vision? What if we hear the word talked about in businesses and churches, but what is a vision? It's a picture in our minds and our hearts of a preferred future. That we look into the future and say, 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, this is where we want to be, where we hope to be, where we believe God wants us to be. And that picture, we need to get down in our hearts so that it motivates us and it carries us. Proverbs 29:18 Many of you will be familiar with it in the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the best translation of the Hebrew in that phrase is where there is no vision or revelation. The word there can be translated either vision or revelation. Where there is no vision or revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now that's more confusing but more powerful, let me tell you. Okay? Because the picture that it gives us is a picture of, for example, a team of horses, if you can imagine. A team of horses. How many know workhorses are powerful animals? Right? Powerful animals. And when a team of horses is harnessed, all of that strength and energy and, you know, power is focused, is restrained for a purpose, is harnessed so that a heavy, heavy load can be pulled, or a plow can be pulled and you can plow up a field or whatever it is you're trying to do. But if there is no vision, if there's no, like, here's what we're trying to do, here's where we're trying to go, here's why, right? If there's no why, then there's no reason to stay focused and restrained and pulling at the weight, right? And so it says people cast off restraint. The New Living Translation actually says they run wild. They run wild. Where there is no vision, people run wild. It's like in the book of Judges, where you read over and over that there was no king. And so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no leader. There was no vision for the country. And so everybody ran wild. They just did whatever felt good because they had no why in their heart. I've heard this said. I think it was Stephen Covey that said it. Leadership writer, Stephen Covey. It's easy to say no when you have an even greater yes burning inside of you. It's easier to say no when you have an even greater yes burning inside of you. It's like, my life is about this. Why would I even think about doing that? Why would I entertain these distractions? Why would I entertain these things that are going to destroy my life and pull me off course? Because my life is about this. I've got a yes burning inside of me. So it's easy to say no to this, right? And so that having a vision as an individual, as a family, as a church, having a vision helps us stay on track. We need a picture of a preferred future. We need to get down in our hearts, not just what could be, or what should be, but what must be. Right? When we think of the future, we're like, oh, we could do this. We could do this. Maybe we should do this. That would be an important thing to do. But I think God wants to grip our hearts with what must be. That we are so convinced that this, whatever that is, this must be that I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to lay down my time, my energy, my passion, everything that I am, so that we can get there. Because that must be. So what do I see when I look into the future of Evangel? First of all, I see a future. Because you know what? If we let's get really honest right now. If we look around the room, we may wonder. Okay? There are too few children, youth, young adults, and young marrieds in this church. And if we do nothing, if we just coast, if in 2020 we just, let's just keep just gathering together on Sundays and just coast. If we do nothing, I tell you this morning that this church has just a few years left before it runs out of people, out of resources, and it fades into history. Say it again. If we do nothing, this church has just a few years left before it runs out of people and resources and fades into history. But we came here 2.5 years ago because I had a confidence. We left behind a church that we planted, that we poured our life and our heart and our soul into, that we loved. And we left it behind because we sensed a call of God in our hearts that this church has an apostolic calling on it to reach this region for Jesus. What do I mean by apostolic calling? I believe that that God established this church 90 years ago, not just so that there would be a nice church in Bathurst. You can see it right from the very beginnings of this church, where this church planted within the first 4 years of its existence, in the middle of a depression, the depression, planted another church, and actually has been involved in the planting of at least 4 churches, if not more. That right in the DNA of this church, it was never intended to just be a nice church in Bathurst. This church was intended to be a training center, an equipping center, a launching out center so that all of northern New Brunswick could be impacted by the gospel of Jesus. And there is a calling on this church, not just for us, but there are communities all around northern New Brunswick, all across the North Shore, where the gospel is not even represented. Where people don't even have a chance to hear about the hope of Jesus. I believe that should stir up a must in our hearts. Those communities must have access to the gospel. I believe our future is not just in surviving and not just in reaching a few more people in Bathurst, but it is in reaching a region with the hope of Christ. And so it is vital in this year, in 2020, that we put significant energy and resources into reaching and discipling younger families as a significant part of moving forward and moving into the calling that God has on this church. And I believe that there are certainly some outreach strategies that God is going to give us. There are some things that He's going to open our understanding, and we're going to see, oh, we need to do this. But But I think more importantly, it is vital that we get back to basics and make sure that we are the kind of church that people of all generations want to be a part of. Who we are is going to be more important than what we do. And so I want to dig into those four E's as we just take a few moments on each this morning and look at what we see. What do I see? I see a church that is more consumed than ever with our Abba Father, with the person of Jesus, and with their glory manifest by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I see an atmosphere cultivated carefully, guarded through prayer and learning to host God's presence well. Many times when God's presence shows up in a church, the reason His presence doesn't linger or go deeper is because we haven't learned to host Him well. And I believe one of the things God wants to teach us in the year ahead is to learn how to host the presence of God. I see a church where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in new and powerful ways, where lives are changed by just simply His glory being present. I hope you're ready to develop an appetite and a hunger for the presence of God. Because we can bring people in here all we want, but if all we offer them is us, they will not stay. People in this world are desperate for something real, and they don't even know it. Second week in a row, I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis. But C.S. Lewis said, "The man who knocks on the door of the brothel is looking for God." Sounds strange. But though he doesn't know it, though the people in this world don't know it, when they are looking for sex, power, money, the next thrill, when they're looking for things that they try to fill their soul with, they don't even know it, but they are looking for God. This region has had its fill of religion and its garbage. And this region will only be reached by a people who carry the real presence of the living God. Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people of the earth?" It's His presence. What do I see? I see us moving out more than ever before. We must find ways to bring the hope of Christ to where people are. We can't wait for them to come to us. That was never the plan. Jesus said, "Go," and yet we wait. right? He said, go, and yet we wait. There was a day when you could ring a church bell and people would come. But we know that today you can ring the bell until the cows come, and that's all that's coming is cows. People don't just show up because we're here. The world around us needs us to go and find them where they are with the hope of Jesus. And I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know how to do it yet. But I know we need to listen, watch, and seize the opportunities as they come. And I believe you are the key. You have hobbies. You have connections. You are aware of opportunities and needs that just might be open doors. We can't do everything, but we have to do something. If you have a skill, and we can encourage you to do something, to connect with people for the sake of Jesus, let us know. There's no better way that I could pour my time out than to pour it into someone who's ready to go find lost people and bring them to Jesus. I think I've told you once before about a couple in the church that we planted named Barry and Verna. When we went to that church, they were 70, 72. Just spring chickens, right? But Verna came to me the first summer that we had started services in the village where we planted the church. Verna came to me with a heavy heart. She lived, they were retirees. They lived in a, I think here you call them mini home park or something, a mobile home. We call them trailer park or mobile home park. They lived in one of those, and they had there were some retirees there. There were some low-income people there. It was just a mix of people, but they had a heavy heart for their neighborhood. She came to me and said, do you think we could, like, just do a barbecue in our backyard? Could we do something to reach my neighborhood? I said, Verna, we'd love to do that. And so we found somebody that could sing, and we had them do a little concert. We bought some hamburgers and cooked them up and brought some salads and whatever. And we threw a party for Verna's neighbors in her backyard. And 60 people showed up. And I preached a 5-minute gospel message. We saw a couple people respond to Jesus that year. And then we did it again the next year, and 80 people showed up. We did it for 4 years in a row, and we had more people come to Jesus in our church plant through Verna's heart for her neighborhood, just because she said, could we do a barbecue in my backyard? Nothing complicated, but she had a must in her heart. What do I see? I see people growing and growing. Jesus said to us before he left this earth, go and make disciples. He said to his disciples, go and make disciples. We can only make disciples if we are disciples. So that means we need to be growing, and we need to be people who are growing others. We need to be growing and growing. We need to be growing, and we need to be growing others. So let me ask, who are you growing and how are you growing? Who are you growing and how are you growing? If you're a disciple of Jesus, then Jesus has called us to make disciples. It's not a pastor job, it's a Christian job. He's called us to make disciples. So who are you growing and how are you growing? This past year, I have intentionally established some relationships in my life with people who would be able to speak into my life, to call me on things or to challenge me with things or to help me see my blind spots and see things that I don't see. Because I know that as your pastor, if I stop growing, I can't help anyone. We never arrive at a place where we're done growing, folks. So how are you growing? What are the relationships in your life that speak into your life and challenge you and encourage you and call you higher? And who are the people that you have intentionally said, I want to invest in one or two or three people? Just spend time with them. Just do life with them and encourage them in their growth. Help them to grow in Christ. And this growing thing can only happen in an atmosphere of love. We will only trust our hearts to someone if we know that they love us and want the best for us. And we only have the right to speak into someone else's life if we truly love them. If they are a project or they're another thing to check off a to-do list, we dare not try to disciple them. Time for another commercial. Connect groups are a fantastic venue to build these kind of relationships. Our connect groups need to be safe places. We need to guard an atmosphere of love and mutual growth and never let them become a place of judgment. And if you're not currently involved in a connect group, what a great place to start finding some of those relationships that will pour into you and you can pour into others. We currently have about 30% of our people in connect groups. I would love, in a year, 2 years, I would love to see 75 to 80% of our people plugged into connect groups with life-giving relationships in their lives. Lastly, what do I see? I see more and more people discovering where they fit in ministry, empowered as leaders, and serving in a meaningful way, either in the church or in the community. God made you with skills and passions and experiences that He wants to leverage for His kingdom. Some of you look around at the ministries currently happening in our church, and you maybe feel like you don't see anywhere you fit. Maybe that's because the ministry God has called you to doesn't exist yet. You may have a part in seeing it come into being. You may have a passion for helping kids learn. Maybe you can help us start an after-school tutoring program. You may have a passion for photography or art or knitting or archery or computer repair or languages. And maybe you can start a club in the community that will give opportunities to be salt and light to people who need Jesus. You may have culinary skills or budgeting skills. Maybe you can help us put on life skills classes for people who need to be strengthened in their lives. You may have a heavy heart for people with addictions or crisis pregnancies or transportation needs. And you could help us start a ministry that would serve practical needs in our city. We want to coach you and help you and strengthen your hand to utilize the things that God has put in your life to make a significant kingdom difference. The potential sitting in this room is unbelievable. But without a vision, it's not harnessed. It's not heading in the direction that builds the kingdom. And I believe God wants us to take all that each of us is and pull in the same direction so that our city can be reached with the good news of Christ. Amen? And so, I foresee opportunities in this year, in formal and informal ways, to empower and equip people to step up as leaders, to step out in ministries, to step into the purpose and calling that God has for your life in a greater way than ever before. And if that's just a conversation over coffee in a coffee shop or a conversation in my office, or if that's a phone call, or if that's you getting involved in a formal class, I see us this year doing a spiritual gift course, possibly this summer. Believe God's maybe leading us towards that. A spiritual gift course. And I believe it's time next September to do a course that I've done in many different settings called Growing Leaders. It's a leadership development course, 10-month leadership development process that I think I've been chomping at the bit to do it since we came, but it just hasn't been time. But I believe September might be the time that we would gather those who are interested in stepping up as leaders and being equipped as leaders at a whole new level. So, I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we conclude. So I see us cultivating an atmosphere of the presence of Jesus. I see us working hard at finding lost people where they are and making it a priority to welcome them when they walk in the doors. I see us being more committed to growing ourselves and helping others grow in an atmosphere of love. And I see us launching ministries and raising up leaders so that the reach of evangel can be multiplied in our city. 2020 holds many opportunities. And we need wisdom to know which ones to say yes to, which ones to say no to, and which ones to say not yet. We need wisdom. I believe God is going to continue to bring that vision into clearer and clearer focus. That 2020 is a vital year. It's a crossroads year for evangel. It is a vital year for us to move forward. I'm excited about what the year holds. It's going to take all of us just coming together and moving together towards that vision. Let's stand. I want to close this morning with a word of prayer over you, us as individuals, over our families, over our church, and over our city. So I believe God doesn't just want to give us a vision as a church. He wants to give you a vision. He wants to give you a must for your life, a purpose, clear purpose, so that you as an individual aren't driving with a frosted windshield, but you're seeing clearly where God wants to take you. That you're seeing clearly where He wants to take your family. That you're seeing clearly how He wants you to be a part of the mission of Evangel. That we would see clearly where He wants to lead us this year. So I want to pray that. And when I'm finished praying, if you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you would like to be prayed for, our ministry team, as soon as I say amen, our ministry team is going to come and be ready to pray with you, believe with you for a breakthrough in your life, whatever it is that you need. If you need healing, if there's financial provision need in your life, if there's a relational family need, if you need breakthrough in any area, we have a God who is the master of breakthrough. Actually is one of His names. Baal Perazim, the master of breakthrough. He is skilled at breakthrough. So let's pray. Jesus, we love You. We love You. We thank You that You love us, that You have a plan and a purpose for our lives, that there is something burning in Your heart for each person in this room this year. Jesus, the New Testament tells us that You are always interceding for us at the Father's right hand. I think we'd like to know what You're praying. What is burning in Your heart for us for 2020, Jesus? How are You praying and interceding over the year that lies before us? How do You want us to grow and be strengthened and be challenged and step up in leadership and ministry? How do You want us to pour into the lives of others? How do You want us to walk in purpose this year? Jesus, I pray that You would begin to give us clarity, give us revelation, give us a vision for our lives. I pray that You'd give us a vision for our families. I pray that You'd give us clearer and clearer vision for our church and our city, that Jesus, we would be the kind of church that people want to be a part of, and that lives out the apostolic calling that You have on us for this region. Jesus, we declare that in 2020 we will advance. That Your kingdom is an increasing kingdom. That we will advance in Jesus' name. So I pray that You would pour out all the anointing, all the wisdom, all the resources that are necessary for us to be what You've called us to be in this year. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen.